Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, if you're heading to Yosemite National Park for the annual phenomenon known as the Firefall, we have an important update for you. And did you hear the story about the two ladies who are OnlyFans models and couldn't find their proper seat on the airplane? We have all the gory details next in the travel news.
When you travel, car rental companies are always in your pocket. They are the nickel and dime kings. Here's some tips on how to get taken less, not as badly with the car rentals. We'll talk about it in the Smarter Traveler segment at 11:22.
At 11:35, we ask our buddy Chris Elliott about his article regarding drinking the water on an airplane. You mean like water that doesn't come out of a bottle? Ew. Double ew.
Odds and Ends at 11:50 includes info on getting tickets for the 2028 Olympics. And we talk about 25 ways travel has changed in the first 25 years of the new century.
More good travel information than you could shake a stick at. Things that will make you a smarter traveler. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Welcome, my friends, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you here on a pretty special Saturday, as, you know, especially Sactown Sports in 1140, home of the 49ers broadcast, and pretty much they're just going to, the radio is just going to be sucked dry with all the people listening to the game later on. Mark, you got a pick?
Was that a great finish to the 49er game last week, or was that like the I was driving around listening to it actually on the radio, and it's you could tell when you were driving who was listening to the football game. I mean, you could visually tell in the car when things were happening. No, I don't have a pick this week. I think the 49ers left 49er and Eagle fans scratching their head after the game last week. Like, how did that happen? Or did that just actually did? Wait a minute. The defending champion was at home and they lost to the, who are these guys? So, right. I can remember about 12 years ago, the Giants had a team like that, that were a wild card into the playoffs. And this guy named Travis Ishikawa came off the bench and hit an unlikely home run. It's you know, talk about one-hit wonders. The only thing probably that he ever did that baseball fans will remember him for. And the Giants went all the way and won their third World Series in 5 years. So, you know, I mean, stranger things have happened.
There you go. Well, I got my money on the 49ers if I bet on football. I've learned a long time ago, if you're going to do any sports wagering, don't involve your favorite teams. Uh-huh. You know, don't put them in that position, you know.
I went back and forth. Should have shared that with Pete Rose years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I went through that with the Giants, you know. And it seemed like every year that I'd put money on them, that would be the year that they would lose. And so I began to feel that maybe I was cursing my own team. By the way, it's Mark and Tom. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations.
Yeah, one tip: bet with your wallet, never with your heart. That's the way that works.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Because when you go to the window afterwards and say, "Oh man, how come they didn't win? That's my favorite team." They're not going to pay you anything, so you know you have to have the winning ticket. Hey, listen, before we get started today, I wanted to just do a shout out to a friend of mine, Caroline Batetta, who has been the president and CEO of Visit California. Now, that won't mean a lot to a lot of people who are listening to this program, but basically, she's been the lady who has run California tourism for the better part of 30 years. I mean, she's done it for a long time, and she's really, you know, if you thought about who you wanted out front out there to represent you, you would want her, because she presents herself really well. And is a wonderful person and a nice lady. And I'm just a little tour operator in Sacramento. I don't play with the big boys of tourism in the state and all of their big things, but I just kind of get to watch it from afar. And watching it from afar, she's been a guest on the Travel Guys, and watching from afar, I just she's done a terrific job. So on behalf of this one tourism guy in California, thank you, Caroline, for all of the hard work that you've done. She's not leaving until September, but I just wanted to give her a little shout out because she has been much appreciated by a lot of people.
Amen to that. At the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we spend a little time bringing you up to date on the travel news. And with that, once again, our travel news reporter, Mr. Mark Hoffman.
Oh, these are like the two greatest open the program stories ever because they're like so different. So if you do you know how let's see a show of hands out there in the audience. Who knows what the firefall is at Yosemite? Let's see. Okay, there's a few. Yeah, mostly older people, it looks like. Any of you ever been to the firefall? This is amazing. People are not sure how I figured out how I can see people's hands through the radio, but it's true. Yeah, there's a few people. Okay, so the firefall at Yosemite National Park is a thing that only takes place a certain time of the year because it has to do with where the sun is in the sky. And the sun shines on Yosemite Falls, and if you get a clear day and a nice sunset, at sunset, and it looks like the falls are on fire. Henceforth, the name Firefall. So this only goes on for about 3-4 weeks out of the year. And so many people flock to Yosemite to see this. It's an off-season phenomenon. So many people flock to see it that this year the park has had to put some limitations. So you have to have an entry ticket to get into the park during Firefall season, when you might not normally need to, you know, in the mid-afternoon, late afternoon. So if you are a person who goes to Yosemite to see the firefall, mm-hmm. which you can only see it from certain spots in the valley, you want to make sure that you do your homework and get a ticket so that your car can, your vehicle can get into the valley so that you can see it. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about and you've never seen it, go Google Yosemite Firefall, and you will, within a minute or two, you will know exactly what it is that I'm talking about. It is one of the most beautiful phenomenons on the planet if you haven't seen it, especially since Yosemite is so beautiful in the wintertime. I would make, and it's right in our backyard, I would make a strong argument that it's something that you should do. All right, so here's the other side of the headline model here today. OnlyFans models arrested, kicked off American Airlines flights as they put on viral spectacle at Florida airport. There is a link to this at travelguysradio.com, and it's well worth it just for the pictures, guys. it's well worth it just for the pictures. These are two rather busty ladies who were boarding a flight at Miami International Airport, and they were a little bit over the line in terms of alcohol consumption, and they got on, and they sat down in two first-class seats. And lo and behold, these were not their seats. So when the people got on who were in first class in those seats and wanted to sit there and summoned the flight attendant informed the two ladies that they were in the wrong place and that they would have to get off. And they refused initially. And so police had to be called to get on the plane to get the two drunk ladies off of who were seated in the wrong spot off the plane. Now, they were rather colorfully dressed, as you will see if you go to travelguysradio.com and click on the link there. And they, as they left the plane, one of them did splits in the jetway. another one did a handstand. It was quite a colorful display, but the police came and escorted them off the plane. The ladies said, posted all of this, and said, American Airlines forgave us because we're hot. And we know how to do the splits. So anyhow, if you don't have anything else on a Saturday morning and you were really looking for something entertaining and I'm looking for a few clicks, travelguysradio.com will get you the link to the OnlyFans ladies in the Miami airport. It's something that shouldn't be missed.
Yeah. Oh, man, I don't have my laptop in front of me. Okay. Let's hurry up and get this show over so I can go click.
All right, United Airlines has announced that they have launched advanced meal purchase for economy flyers. So if you're somebody who sits in the back of the plane and maybe you have some dietary restrictions or perhaps you just have something that you like. I can't imagine what that would be on an airplane that you would pay a premium for. But nonetheless, United Airlines has enabled you can make an advance purchase of meals for passengers in the economy cabin. So you don't just order it and pay for it later. You pay for it when you order it. That's how they guarantee that, you know, you're going to pay for it. But you can get all sorts of things. You know, there are three or four choices. Here's a recent menu. Had a double bacon egg sandwich. Eggs on a plane. Oh, my God. Don't even get me started. A cheeseburger, which I understand is actually edible. Tacos al pastor and a hummus platter. So you could have ordered those things in advance if you were flying with United Airlines, even if you were sitting in economy, if you're willing to pay for it. So,
wow. It's a pretty exciting menu there.
Pretty cool stuff.
No rubber chicken. They usually either have
that's reserved for the people up front, the rubber chicken and the meatloaf. I don't even on the occasions when I get upgraded, because if I'm flying United, you know, I've flown for them since Jesus was a little boy, and so I'm pretty high on the list there, but I don't eat on airplanes. I don't, as you'll find out here later on program two, I don't drink water on airplanes too, unless I know where it came from.
You know, I mean, early on, and I think a lot of people will agree that when you first flew one of your first flights, maybe, I don't know, someplace far away or a little further away than going to, you know, Southern California, where they did serve meals on planes. And when you're a young child or even a teenager, it was really exciting. My gosh, they're going to serve us a meal right here while we're flying through the sky. I mean, I thought it was pretty thrilling at one point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looking back on it, I don't know why.
Well, I've always been kind of a little bit of a airplane and bus and just, you know, a moving geek. I always found those things. I remember being on an airplane years ago, I'd gone to Seattle to check something out, and I was flying back home from Seattle, and they put this little boy, unaccompanied minor, in the seat next to me. And I don't know, he was 8 or 9 years old, and the plane wasn't very full. He was on the window and I was on the aisle, and he was staring out at things. And then he started asking me questions about things that he could see out the window. And, dare I say, it was the most fun. And then, of course, when you fly down from Washington State, you fly over the volcanoes, if it's clear, and it was that day. So he was asking about the volcanoes and the snow and all this stuff. It was about the most fun I've ever had on an airplane. Fun is where you make it, I guess. All right, back to the news here. FIFA has said that they have received over 500 million World Cup ticket requests. My goodness. Just to give you an idea, there are not 500 million tickets. So some people are going to be disappointed. So the question is, can you still get tickets? The random selection drawing entry is closed, but there are lots of other ways. Each participating team, their national association, will have some tickets available. They will sell them in different ways, in packages. Sometimes there will be premiums there. Of course, there will be secondary market. Be very careful. Make sure that if you buy on the secondary market, that you're buying from somebody who actually has the tickets and perhaps maybe even lives in this country. Just a thought.
Yeah.
All right. For the first time ever, this is kind of interesting. Delta Airlines says that their premium cabin revenue has exceeded their economy cabin revenue. This would be for the fourth quarter of last year when they reported. So the money that they're collecting for first class, for ticket, for upgrades to first class, for economy plus, I think it's called comfort plus on Delta, the amount of money that you're paying to get into to get that upgraded seat, that amount of money now is exceeding the money that they collect in economy. So remember, we talk about how airlines don't really make money on your purchase of the ticket anymore, on the basic ticket. It's if you upgrade, you check a bag, you get a seat, you carry their credit card, all this stuff. So this is the first real evidence that that is what's happening, because now the guy who's in the back of the plane is no longer paying for the cost of the airplane. You're basically being subsidized by people who are paying for the upgraded seat and stuff. So if you fly on the plane and you don't do any of those things and you just sit in the back and you take the cheap seat and you carry your bag on board or you keep your luggage to a minimum, good for you. Because to some extent, dude or dudess, you are beating the system at this point. So
wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it doesn't have anything to do with what the I mean, it does to some extent, obviously, what the ticket is, but ticket prices are fairly competitive. But anyways, it's whether or not you bought that seat upgrade and whether or not you're carrying that credit card. And when you went and bought your groceries at Bel Air last night, did you plop that airline credit card onto the counter to pay for them? That's what they really care about. And that's your travel news for today.
Boy, we wouldn't have found that one in our travel crystal ball as to what the future is going to look like. All right, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, and want to take a moment and talk about one of my favorite place, probably my favorite place to dine here in Sacramento, or for that matter, anywhere else. And that's just right up the street off of Highway 50 at Hazel, and we're talking about Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House.
Hey, you know, I got up there last week for dinner after threatening to do so for several weeks. They even let me
right.
in. Yeah. I went there.
They wouldn't let you in.
Yeah. I don't think they knew who I was, so that's probably why.
I have to ask. We've talked a lot about it. First of all, how was the experience, and what did you decide to go with?
Well, the experience really starts with the clam chowder, and if that was the only reason that you went, why, you wouldn't be disappointed. God, I love the clam chowder there. It is so – they serve New England clam chowder, and it is – so good that I just, gosh, you know, I could go there probably for lunch and just have clam chowder and bread, and I would probably be very happy.
Sure.
They wouldn't be very happy because I wouldn't have spent very much money, but I had the halibut for dinner, and it came with the rice pilaf. Some people call it rice pilaf, but I call it rice pilaf. And some vegetable that looked like broccoli or something. It was probably pretty healthy. It was a pretty healthy meal, actually. Now that I sit here and think about it, it's probably the healthiest thing I ate all week. And boy, the food at Rudy's is really good. And the service, you know, they're old school people there. I'll bet you some of the folks that are serving at Rudy's have served there forever. And
you know, I have some statistics here.
Yeah. They're really right attentive and really kind, and just, you know, it's the perfect place.
The average Rudy's employee has been there for 12 years, and this is old, so I would say 14.
Wow.
You know, I mean, Christina, who their key chef, over 25 years. I mean, they don't mess around. I personally know somebody who works there, and all I can hear is, I want to work more hours. I want to work long. I just want to work here. I have other options, but this is where I like to work
best.
If
you're going to Rudy's in a key time, make a reservation or go early. We went early the other – we had a reservation, but we went early anyway. It was like 5:30, and we got there at 5:15. There were like 20 people lined up outside. Also, the bar at Rudy's is really a hot place. It's anytime
it's
you go in there.
It's small and cozy.
Yeah.
It's not a sports bar. There's not like big screen TVs everywhere, but it's a great gathering spot. In between the front door and where you're going to sit for dinner. But at any rate, there you go. First-hand report on how things are at Rudy's from Mark, the clam chowder guy. Tell him Mark and Tom, the travel guys, sent you Rudy's Hideaway just off Highway 50 at Hazel. All right, the travel guys continue. What do we got coming up next? We're going to talk car rental companies always in your pocket. They are known as the nickel and dime kings. We're not talking Sacramento Kings. These are not the good king. Anyway, that next, right here on the Travel Guys. Okay, hey, as we were talking before the break about car rentals, the king of nickel and diming you.
Yeah, and then I've got if I got time too, I've got something here from our friends at TSA here in Sacramento that I thought was kind of interesting.
Okay,
car rental fees, taxes. Be really careful. Car rental taxes in Minnesota, 22% car rental taxes. In Colorado, 21%. New York, 20. Arkansas, 19. Lots and lots and lots of other states are in the double digits. When you rent a car, in many cases, you're helping build a stadium or rebuild the downtown or do some other thing, some other big project in a city, and that's fine. But also, when you rent at an airport, you're paying what they call concession recovery fees or facility charges. You know what that is? That's the cost of the car rental company doing business at the airport. That's the right. fee they pay the airport for the right to be there, and then they pass that fee on to you. So if you don't rent the car from an airport property, and sometimes non-airport car rental places can be reasonably close to the airport, they can even be the same name that you're renting from there at the airport, and they don't have those fees in there. So if you're renting for a week or two or three, you could save huge amounts of money by renting from an off-airport location and making a $10 or $15 Uber ride in each way. And if you're, let's pretend for a minute, if you're renting for a week and a week's car rental is $500, that wouldn't be that unusual. That's only about $65, $70 a day. And then plus taxes, yeah, $100 a day wouldn't be completely unreasonable. So you could save a lot of money by staying away from airport locations. You won't necessarily dodge those taxes, but if the cost of your rental car is lower to start with, the cost of the taxes added on to it will also be lower.
You know, you gotta do your homework. San Antonio is the only city that I know specifically. They have car rental right there on the property in the big garage across the street from the airport. It was only put in a short time ago, several years, but not that many. And here again, there are all kinds of rental places that aren't that far away, mm-hmm. and you could save a boatload. I didn't know anything about that until, you know, a few years ago, and started taking advantage of it and saving some money. So, but you got to do your homework to find out where the car rentals are that aren't on the airport property. It's just very convenient, you know, being at the airport.
Well, and I just rented a car in St. Louis a couple weeks ago, and those of you who have been to St. Louis know that the car rental facilities are basically off property. So you have to go outside and wait for a shuttle bus and take the shuttle bus to the rental car facility and then go through the whole process of getting your car, which, depending on how frequent of a renter you are, could be a drawn-out process. And then get your car and drive away. When you come back, you have to go through the same process. Take the car back to the off-airport facility, wait for the check it in, wait for the shuttle bus, get back to the airport, get inside. So if the airport car rental facility is on airport, see, it's the same way in Sacramento. You got to take a shuttle bus to the car rental facility. But at some airports, especially smaller ones, Palm Springs was an example, you can get off your plane, get your bag, turn around, get in line for the car rental facility, walk out the door and get your car. Now, the fact that your car costs you a little bit more there's a tremendous amount of convenience involved because you can easily get a car. And when you come back, you can easily drop the car. So that's something to do your homework on also. What is it worth to you to have the car rental facility be right there as opposed to someplace where you have to go 100 miles in order to be able to get it, and it's going to take a lot of time also. Listen, I had one other thing here before we get to the bottom of the hour, smarter traveler thing. I'm going to make this a whole segment, maybe next week or the week after, but I wanted to just give people a heads up because this is a two-aspect thing. I saw this article wondering what's on the TSA packing ban list. So I read the article thinking that there might be something in here that is, you know, more updated that I needed to know, and it's kind of a mix of marginally good information. So I sent it over to our friends Dale and Keller and Sid Hanna at TSA here in Sacramento and said, hey, you know, guys, is there anything to this? Is there anything worth talking about? And they sent it back and said, you know, it appears to be a play on an existing TSA rules list. And probably it feels like that it's probably an AI article. And there really isn't much there. And they said, you know, we could come on and talk about it. But I said, no, thanks. You kind of. And then they went on to explain to me why it wasn't new and stuff. So that will be the story for next week. But the basic story is here. You see something online. There's all these bait click things. You log onto your computer. And before you can get away, you're barraged by 8 or 10 or 20 different subjects, and you see this thing, you're getting ready to fly, and you see, oh, TSA banned items list, I better check that out. And so you fall for the clickbait, and you click on it, and you read through it, and you're like, I'm more confused than I was in the first place. So in many cases, when you get to those travel clickbait items and they sound like they might have some merit, the best thing to do is go to your browser and just type in something that has to do with that article. You know, banned articles on TSA, reworded or something like that. And then you'll get a much more accurate and probably much more up-to-date list. And if things really have changed, then you'll see a note there. And if you pay attention, you'll say, oh, that's from TSA. I'll click on that. That will tell me what's really going on. So just be careful. There's a lot of misinformation out there. There's more of it than there used to be, and there's going to be more. And a lot of people are just trying to sell you things or get you to click on a website. And so there may not be any harm there, but you might get there and get information that leads you to doubt, you know, your upcoming travels or something. So just be careful. Again, it's one thing we talk about here a lot. This is what, maybe the third time I've mentioned it in the first 30 minutes. If you're a traveler and you're willing to do a little bit of homework, you will avoid a lot of bad situations.
Good advice. All right, we are the Travel Guys, and when we come back, Christopher Elliott, consumer advocate and travel expert, joins us. We're going to talk about drinking the water on an airplane. Good idea, bad idea, where does it come from? All of that coming up next, right here with the Travel Guys.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair, a world of adventure, and we take you there.
I thought I'd take just a minute today and tell you a little bit about Sports Leisure Vacations, the business that brings you this program every week. I have been the owner there for 46 years. And so who travels with Sports Leisure Vacations? If you've listened to what I've said on the radio, you probably gather that these are mature travelers, older folks who travel with us, people who are tired of making all the arrangements themselves, would prefer to have someone else do it, somebody that they trust to give them a great travel experience. So you can travel the planet. You can see the planet with Sports Leisure Vacations, or you can do something as simple as going to a Giants baseball game in San Francisco, perhaps a theater show that isn't making it to Sacramento. You could take a motor coach to San Francisco and see it for the day. And guess what? You don't have to fight the traffic coming home. So whether it's a short trip or a longer trip, whether you're a mature traveler or just somebody who would rather not fight the traffic on the way to the ballpark, Sports Leisure Vacations, you can find us on the web at sportsleisure.com.
Hey there, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for joining us. Returning to the Travel Guys, one of our favorite guests of all time. He is a nationally known consumer advocate, world traveler, to say the least, writer of travel, and so much more. And so glad to have him to be a part of the Travel Guys from time to time. And if you've listened before, you know I'm talking about Christopher Elliott. Christopher, thank you. Back to the Travel Guys.
Guys, how are you?
we are good. I was afraid Tom's introduction there was going to take so long we were going to have to add an extra hour to the program in order to be able to accommodate you. How is life in New Zealand?
It's all good. Yeah, I'm in Wellington, which is the capital, and I'm enjoying the very, very windy weather here.
Uh-huh. Still traveling with two sons?
They are still with me. I haven't been able to get rid of them. I'm working
okay.
on that, though.
Just tell them you have penned some things in the last month, Christopher, that tells me that, you know, sometimes there are slow news days and sometimes there are busier news days. And sometimes on those slower news days, you have to, you know, dig a little deeper. So I wanted to ask you about your article that you penned here last Sunday, or at least that's when it was published here in the States. No, you are not entitled to sit together on a plane. From the fall honeymoon scam to public lewdness, how lovebirds are ruining flight for the rest of us. And I thought this was a very compelling topic to ask you about.
Okay. Fire away, guys. What do you want to know?
You must have some, well, the lewdness thing kind of, you know, obviously got my attention, but I read the article and you were talking about, actually, there are two kind of subjects here. One is people who don't really conduct themselves properly on the plane. Another, who people who get on the plane and just figure that they're going to bully their way into whatever seats that they would like to be in. How do you approach, somebody gets on the plane and they're a little pushy and they're like, you know, they would like to have your seat. And how do you approach that in a kind and considerate way?
Well, I mean, the reason that I wrote this story, of course, was because it's Valentine's Day and the lovebirds are going to be out. And a lot of, I get a lot of complaints from people who say, I reserved a seat on the plane, and then this couple got on and they said that they wanted to sit next to each other, but I had reserved the seat. And then they said, come on, it's our honeymoon, or come on, I'm traveling with my sweetheart. And they felt pressured to give up their seat. And this actually is not just couples that are doing this. It's a lot of people. It's families who say, oh, I want to sit next to my child. It's, colleagues, work colleagues even, who want to sit together and brainstorm over a spreadsheet, whatever. And the idea is that, we don't even have to pay for these seats. We're just somehow entitled to them. And I think that's completely wrong. And this is a really good time of the year to be thinking about all this, because, if the couples are out doing their thing. And to answer your question, there's no way of doing something like that, of saying no, without offending someone. Uh-huh. But you just have to, and I say this in my story, you have to be prepared to say no. No, I'm not going to give you my seat. And then let the chips fall where they may.
So what if you flip it and let's say you get on the plane and you have 8 D and E, and you get on the plane and somebody's already in 8 D and E, and you say, well, gosh, these are my seats and I have the boarding pass. And they're like, well, we're on a honeymoon. Surely you'll let us just take our seats. And here we have 33 E and 34 E in the back. And won't you just please take those? How would you approach that sort of? You just immediately call for the flight attendant, or do you try to maneuver your way out of that situation?
I show them your ticket, and if it says AD or AD on it, then if they don't move, then you have to call the flight attendant. Don't take matters into your own by any means, because that's the next viral video. You don't want to be on that.
The simple solution, and Mark and I were talking about it earlier, and that is to plan ahead and pay for seats next to each other, and rather than just being in the fishbowl in a draw as to where you're going to sit.
Yeah, I mean, look, if it's a middle seat that you have the assignment for, and you would rather sit in an aisle seat or a window, and someone is asking you for it, it's an easy decision. Of course, you're going to say yes. But if it's a really nice seat, like say a window exit row, which is my favorite seat, and then someone says, hey, I'm entitled to this seat, give it to me, that's when you need to call the referee in, and that referee is the flight attendant.
And the reality is you hit on really the most important point there. It's what do you have to trade? If I'm an 8D and you're a 9D and you want to switch with me, why, that's probably not an issue. If I'm traveling alone and I'm, as long as there isn't a 700-pound person in the seat that you're trying to trade away from, then that's probably not an issue. Your point that if you've got a middle seat and you're trying to get to an aisle, good luck with that. But if you've got an aisle seat and you say, hey, I want to take 9B up there so I can sit next to my girlfriend, she's on the aisle, why then the guy in 9B is probably very happy to make that trade with you. So to some extent, it's what do you have to trade?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, the real bigger issue here is that people think that somehow they're entitled, for whatever reason, they're entitled to your seat, even though you paid for the assignment. And about 10 years ago, airlines, as you know, started charging for seat assignments. And in some cases, every seat is, you either pay for the seat assignment, or you have to wait until you get on the, you check in before you're assigned a seat. Idea of entitlement is very antiquated, and it's very unfortunate. My recommendation is that, you don't want to get into a fight with someone over their entitlement issues. You just want to call the authorities and deal with this.
Did you see that this year, quarter, Chris, for the first time, Delta Airlines reported the other day, and their revenue from upgraded seats, and I'm the words are escaping me here right now, but their revenue from upgraded stuff was bigger than the revenue from economy for the first time in their history.
Unfortunately, this is the way of the future, is that airlines are going to be, they're looking for new sources of revenues, and selling airline seats just is not giving them the revenue that they want. So they're selling upgrades and things like that. And so it's too bad, because it turns the entire model on its head, and it makes for a very confusing experience. Who could have known that the upgrade would cost more than the seat?
Yeah, about the only good side of all of this is that the miracle flights on Southwest will be ending in a couple of weeks. No longer will you be able to be wheeled onto the plane ahead of everyone else, take a premium aisle seat in the front of the aircraft, and then get up and walk off, miraculously cured, on the other end of your flight. So people with disabilities will still board early, but they will sit in an assigned seat. They won't automatically get to pick things off at the front of the aircraft. All right, I have one other quick thing here. Chris, you're on the airplane and you've sat down, and here comes the flight attendant down the aisle. Maybe you got upgraded up front, and the flight attendant's offering you a beverage before the plane leaves, and she says, "Would you like juice or water, sir?" Mm-hmm. Would you drink the water on the airplane?
Juice. Go for the juice. A new survey says that the water on the plane is not very safe. Some airlines are a lot less safe than others, but it was very troubling. I reported that last week, and the bottom line is don't drink the water. Coffee and tea, maybe if it's boiled, maybe, but still, you're better off just having the microplastics instead.
Yeah, if you can watch them pour the water in front of you, I guess that would be okay. But it is a little suspicious sometimes.
You know, the bottom line is, where is water safe? Unless it comes from a bottle, and then you got to recognize the label and know that it's maybe a brand that you can appreciate and you feel safe with. I felt that way for a long time on planes. I'll get a snappy Tom. Without the alcohol, it's that like little Bloody Mary mix, and go from there. But was there some research done?
There was, Tom. For the record, Delta and Frontier were Delta came out with a perfect score. So if you were going to drink water on the plane, you didn't know where it came from. Delta might be the safest. Frontier scored very high. Spirit, JetBlue, and American, all down towards the bottom. Christopher, anything, any exciting travel tip, something you've learned in the last couple of weeks that you'd like to share with our folks before we let you go?
Oh, my. Well, you know, I mean, New Zealand's really nice this time of year. Even if you are in Wellington and there's a lot of wind, it's summertime here, so it's very green and beautiful. If you are looking for an unusual destination, consider New Zealand. It's one of my very favorite places. And actually not that far away. I mean, if you think about it, they offer direct flights from San Francisco and L.A. And you just get on the overnight and you're there. Time difference is not so bad either. So except that, of course, you cross the international dateline. So you lose a day. But besides that, it's pretty awesome. Highly recommend it.
A group of sports leisure travelers are departing for New Zealand next Wednesday or Thursday. So I'll have them wave as they fly over.
Okay, sounds good.
Christopher Elliott, consumer advocate. If you would like to know more about what Christopher writes about, which is cool stuff, a couple, three, four times a week, Elliott.org, two L's and two T's. There also is a paid version of his website that has even more exciting information on it. So I'm really, of all the websites that I belong to or that I pay to get information from, this is the most neutral and the most authentic, the most informational. So if you're looking for just the real news instead of something that's slanted one way or the other, Elliott.org is where you should go. Thank you, Chris, again for the generosity of your time today. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You know, I love the way he said, Tom, you know, to New Zealand, there's, you know, nonstop flights from San Francisco and Los Angeles. You just get on and you're there.
What is it, 15 hours?
People who have done that. And as I mentioned, we have some folks who are going to be doing it. Clayton Whitehead is taking a group out next week to New Zealand. I am so jealous. They had a pre-tour meeting here at our office a couple weeks ago, and they were talking. You know, usually people go over to New Zealand and Australia. And they do them together because it's a long damn way to go. And if you take 2.5-3 weeks, you can kind of sort of get a little bit of an idea of the two countries, but you're going to miss some stuff. You may not be able to go out to Ayers Rock and stuff. So this year, this time around when we did it, we went to Australia, I think 2 years ago, and took an extended vacation there. And now we're going back to New Zealand. And New Zealand's not a real big country. So you think about, well, wow, you know, 10 days or 2 weeks there. But think about it if you were in California and you had 2 weeks. you still wouldn't get to see everything from the redwood trees to the beaches of San Diego to Death Valley to Yosemite. You still Hearst Castle. You wouldn't see all of our city has to offer. So anyways, I just found it kind of humorous that he said, you just get on the plane and you're there.
Well, Chris is a seasoned traveler, has all over the world, and stays extended periods of time at the places that he goes. So for him, it's just a little short jump. All right, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark and Tom. We got more stuff to cover. I think you're going to enjoy this next segment as the Olympics are coming. That's right. And tickets are on sale, and we're going to talk a little bit about what that means to you and me. Next, here on The Travel Guys. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Show being produced today by Anthony Lucas. Home of the Sacramento Kings, who have won, ladies and gentlemen, 4 in a row.
Wait, let me sit down. 4? That's almost all the fingers of one hand.
That's right. I mean, they've doubled their winnings for the season in like, you know.
They're not the worst team in the conference currently.
Nope.
There is nowhere to go but up.
It's pretty exciting. And, you know, who says that a travel show doesn't fit well on a sports station?
Yeah.
When we're talking about travel and we're talking about the Olympics.
The Olympics.
And you don't have to travel that far.
You do not. They're going to be, a lot of them, in Los Angeles. Registration for LA 28 ticket draw has opened. So if you go to travelguysradio.com, there is on the homepage there, just go down a little ways. There's a picture of the Firefall at Yosemite. And right below that, there's some highlights for today's show. And it says Olympic tickets. There's a little blue link there that you can tick on. Click on it, will take you there. Or I'm sure if you just get creative and put LA 28 ticket draw in your browser, you can probably get to it also. This is a way that you can get registered. Earlier in the program, we talked about getting World Cup tickets and about how 500 million tickets had been requested, way more than there were. So it's not the only way to get tickets, but there will be a draw for the opportunity to buy tickets, to purchase tickets beginning in April. Everybody who registers will be entered into a ticket draw, which will randomly assign time slots to purchase tickets through future ticket drops. So it sounds like that they're going to pass out some tickets now and some tickets later. So if you want to go to the Olympics, you need to get your name on this list. Go to travelguysradio.com and that will help you. A couple of other items here before I get to that list of 25 things, which is really quite interesting. I want to say, just take a minute here, Tom, and say goodbye to an old friend of the Travel Guys. He used to join us pretty regularly on the program, and as happens in life, one day we just didn't talk to him, and there was no specific reason. And you and I were talking last week, gee, whatever happened to Ed Perkins? And Ed was for the Consumer Reports newsletter. He was the travel writer, and he was one of the first people to come on our program almost 2 decades ago as a guest, and really great guy. God, he knew everything about travel. And really kind man, lived up in Ashland. Anyway, we went kind of searching for him last week, and a friend was kind enough to answer our email, reach out and say, you know, I kind of monitor this from time to time. Sorry to tell you that Ed passed away in December of last year. He was 95 and in failing health for a while, but he was comfortable and at peace at the end, and sent a link to his obituary. So anyway, people, not very many people who are listening are going to remember that, but Ed was always very gracious with his time. And very kind to us when we were just starting up as a radio show, and brought a lot of authenticity to the program. So rest in peace, Ed Perkins.
Yeah, I agree. Ed was always fun to have on. Had a great sense of humor, very interesting voice and approach, and as you said, very knowledgeable, and will be missed by the Travel Guys and many, many other folks.
Highway 1 has reopened all the way down the coast. 656 miles of it reopened last Wednesday. So now you can drive the entire California coast. just keep in mind, if you've never been on that road or you know somebody who's going to do it, that it's not a freeway or an expressway or even a four-lane road. And so it's driving that road is a little bit of a challenge. So make sure that you're up for it. Yeah, but it is a very incredibly scenic road. Drive it in the off season when there aren't as many people. Don't tell anybody.
Yeah. Or you could go with Sports Leisure Vacations. And
yeah, no, you couldn't because can't take a bus down that road. Only in little stretches you can do it. But no, yeah, that's the deal. I can't take people. I can take them over to the coast, Highway 1, you know, Fort Bragg, Mendocino, Bodega Bay, places like that. But I can't take them all the way down the coast. You've got to do that in your own car. All right, 25 ways travel has changed this century. These lists aren't usually that attractive, but I thought this was kind of cool. See, Tom, if you and listeners, if you agree. Top of their list, smartphones put maps in our hands.
Okay, agree with that.
No reason ever to have a map again because you've got a smartphone, and if you know how to operate it, you can. Some people still prefer paper maps, especially if you're looking over a large area, but that really did change things.
Yeah, remember the days when somebody said, well, hey, why don't you come over this weekend, watch the game? And they'd write down their address and give it to you. And then you'd go, wow.
Go down to the third light and take a right and then go down, you know, Fulton Avenue, you know, where it intersects with Marconi. Okay, so just make a left there and then we're down two. Yeah, exactly. Everyone sees your vacations. Because you're posting photos and stuff online, that was something that 25 years ago, that didn't happen. The demise of customer service.
That's great. Now,
People who are 40 or under don't expect a real person to answer the telephone on the other end. They expect to get a recording. Changes in travel over the last 25 years. Cruises became floating theme parks. Cruise ships. Yep. Instead of cruise ships being for retired people to go to Alaska and the Panama Canal, now they're for people of all ages, families and the like, and many of them literally are floating theme parks. Over tourism clogs Europe's icons. That's something that we didn't deal with 25 years ago. Here's something kind of cool. You can pay to skip the line. You know, now there are all kinds of ways that you can pay to skip the line. Your house is my hotel, Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
Something that didn't exist. Here's really one that belongs on this list: Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah.
hasn't been with us for a while, but Anthony Bourdain, the man with a great personality, and was a great traveler. Airlines abandoned the middle class. Airlines decided that the money was to be made up front, as witnessed the story earlier in this broadcast. Points and miles. Who had ever heard of points and miles 25 years ago? Regular people can explore Antarctica. That's cool. Hotel brands multiply like rabbits. and finally here, there's a whole list of these, 25. I'm just kind of skipping over. Southwest sells out.
Yep.
The airline that had been different for all these years decided that they didn't want to be, they weren't going to be different anymore. They were going to make more money. And here's the one that's kind of true and cool. More accessibility for people with disabilities.
That's always good. There we go. Well, all right. More stuff to make you a smarter traveler next Saturday at 11 a.m., my friends.
Remember to dance like nobody's watching, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
Traveler is always leaving town. He never has the time to turn around. KHD, KHD1.